You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to Tot and Ham, the weekly show where James and I talk about West Ham and Tottenham in a little more detail. My name's Serge.
My name is James.
And this is another Planet FPL production.
This is another depressing podcast.
Well, I was going to say where we talk about West Ham and Tottenham in more detail. It's becoming a bit more of where we rant about Tottenham and West Ham in a little more detail. You're ranting more than me, but you guys are having a bit of a tough time of it at the moment.
I got a massive rant off my chest 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And since then, they've been
no fucking better,
kicking you in the nuts even more. We're coming off the back of a weekend where West Ham put in a very poor performance against Everton. I was going to swear there and I checked myself. And Tottenham also put in a very poor performance but managed to claw back a draw at the end against Watford.
I threw a party Saturday night. I was so happy.
Because it was better than Brighton?
Not really. It couldn't be any worse, could it?
So where should we start? We always start with Spurs. Let's carry on as we have in the past. Talk to me about Spurs.
Must I?
Change in formation.
Obviously, for those who might catch this a little late, Spurs are obviously playing Tuesday night against Red Star in the Champions League.
Yeah.
So my mood might be a little bit better or progressively worse in the next 24 hours or so. Yeah, another horrendous performance on Saturday. There's no makeup to say any different of it. I think what probably needs exploring from a Spurs perspective at the moment is like deeper into what's wrong, because I'm listening to a lot of people. I'll give you an example. I listened to a Spurs-based podcast on my way into work this morning. And I won't name it because I don't want to publicly criticise it, to be honest.
Okay.
But in the first 10 minutes or so, they were talking about he's changing the team too much. He's not consistent enough with his approach.
But you did the same thing last year.
Right, fair enough. And then 20 minutes later, they just completely contradicted themselves by saying, oh, he needs to make changes. He needs to put players in who's and replace the players who are not playing well. I think at the moment, what's happening is Pochettino is essentially throwing darts at a darts board and continuously missing while trying to find a formula that's going to breathe, at the moment, confidence into the team, because that's the biggest issue currently. And I think he needs to remind himself of what made him a good football manager in the first instance. So if we think back to even the Southampton days, what really impressed us with that Southampton side was the pressing. The way they pressed off the ball, all the youth mm-hmm. and enthusiasm in that team. And then when he came into Spurs, he had to deal with problem players, Adebayors, Cabals and others. And then once he got them out, he managed to get Spurs playing in the same way that Southampton had been playing, but just with more quality players overall. And for some reason, basically since we went to Wembley, that's stopped.
You're not pressing anymore. You're not playing with energy.
No.
But the personnel is very similar.
I think it tried to evolve, and it has a little bit, because teams play differently against us now, right? When a team like Watford comes and plays against us, their number one factor is, right, we're going to get men behind the ball. And that's a repetitive theme that we need to get over. When we were kind of flying through it the year we were pushing Chelsea and teams were doing the same things, we were blitzing teams in the first 15, 20 minutes at White Hart Lane. It didn't matter how teams were setting up against us. We'd go to White Hart Lane and we knew we were winning mm-hmm. because we just have too much pace and aggression. And when I say pace, I don't necessarily mean how fast people are. I mean like the tempo of a football match.
Intensity and stuff, yeah.
We start games so fucking slowly.
My team are no different, mate.
One of the other things he was saying on this podcast this morning was we're always giving teams a head start. we've had games where we've had head starts. I'm thinking like Arsenal, Leicester. That's not particularly helped us particularly. We're just in a rut at the moment. And I think the easiest way out of it is for Pochettino to play players who can play back in within a pressing system, because that's the quickest way he'll get the fans back on side. There was a really alarming moment for me in the ground on Saturday, and it was about half hour to go, and I'm looking at him going, we ain't scoring here. This is shocking shite. And the crowd started singing, Tottenham, we love you. We love you, Tottenham. Now, that is normally held in reserve for when we're probably already beaten in a game or the final whistle's gone and we haven't won, but the performance has been okay. This reminded me, it was like a stand, because I could feel the mumblings in the ground and stuff like that. And it reminded me of Martin Joles last week's in the job, when nobody was going to go calling for his head. Because you have to remember, Martin Joles walked into the job in 2005 as Santini's assistant. Santini bottled it after 2 months and went. And Martin Joles got us from a side that looked like they were going to be fighting relegation to within 18 months. Had all these good young English players like Defoe, Carrick, Robinson, King, Dawson, Huddleston, Lennon, roll off the tongue, who very nearly finished in the top four and couldn't quite make that next step under Martin Joles. But the football was far more attractive, and essentially it gave Tottenham fans a sense of enjoyment and a feeling watching the club again that probably not had probably since like the Klinsmann era in kind of 95. There was 10 years of just permanent shit, bar the odd sprinkling of, say, a Ginola in there, for example.
Stop you there for a second.
Go on.
So you played a pressing style. You're not playing a pressing style now. Is that because the tactics... do you think Pochettino's saying to the team, don't press? Or are they just not doing it? Because why would he change his philosophy and tactics and style?
I'm not sure if he's got the players to press now.
Well, Son's pacey. Moore is pacey. Yeah. Harry Kane can press. I don't see how
I'm not sure if Harry Kane can press anymore.
Ericsson, I'd thought they're all players that can hunt impacts and press.
Ericsson shadow boxes, basically, is what I call it. Like, he runs in directions, but he'll never put a tackle in.
Right.
He does work hard, Ericsson. I've never kind of criticised him for that. You're right, Ali can press.
I think you've got the personnel there.
Son doesn't really have the physical attributes, but he's obviously quick, gets around.
Rapid.
Lucas is pretty good in terms of his strength for his size in comparison. Lamella's the one I've always spoke about, going back to that season we pushed Leicester. He was always the one that instigated the press. It was noticeable that we were much better when Lamella came on Saturday. But I think that was because without Eriksen, we just had no creativity in the team.
Yeah, sure.
And suddenly we had someone on the pitch who could put their foot on the ball. He's not doing it anymore. And I think that's the first solution he's got to find. Is if we play tonight and press, the fans will get on side, even if the football is crap, because they'll see the intensity from the players. That's why a lot of the fans are losing belief as well, is because there's no intensity in our play with and without the ball. You can be intense on either side of that fence. It's just not happening. It's so pedestrian. Teams are coming and playing against us, particularly at White Hart Lane, where they'll just let the centre-halves have the ball. There is no pressing on the ball. When you look at the sides we've played so far, we should have seen that coming. The only side that really come and pressed us was Southampton, who didn't take advantage of a man advantage. We've conceded, in the 5 home games so far, we've conceded first 3 times against 5 bog-standard teams. That can't be happening. It's just, I just think he needs to get back to what made him a good manager in the first instance. And I'm worried now, like I said, the reason I brought up the Joles period is because I can feel a few fans now thinking, no one wants to say it, I don't want to say it, but is it time for change? Because it's not working.
But if he tries to play a system without the players, he's doomed to fail. If he tries to play a pressing game without the talent that can make it happen, obviously it's doomed to fail. So he's setting himself up for failure if he switches back to that pressing style of play and the players can't give him what he wants.
I think we're still best set up to a 4-2-3-1. I've said that so many times. We definitely don't have the fullbacks to be playing with wing-backs at the moment. Going back to that when it was good pressing, in the main it was a 4-2-3-1 with kind of Lamella right, Eriksen left and Ali behind Kane. That system can do that again, but then that system's got no Son in it. The Son's got to be in the 11 because he's the one with the real explosiveness in the side. And one of the problems he's got, I spoke about this very briefly on the main pod last night in terms of the tactics for Liverpool on Sunday. Like, I wouldn't play Kane. I would play similarly to how United set up on Sunday and play Son and Lucas as split forwards to try and, particularly I think Son between Matip and Alexander-Arnold. Lucas doing a similar job the other
similar
side.
Similar to how United set up.
Yeah, but I would try and get Son in that area, particularly between TAA and Matip, and get him to try and expose that area. The problem, he can't leave Kane out. Imagine we go up to Liverpool, we take a battering and he doesn't pick Kane. The media will go fucking mental, mate.
Agreed, yeah.
So you can't do
it. You can't leave your best player out.
And people say, oh, I think it's a tactic for one particular game. Literally, this one opposition. I wouldn't go up to Man City and leave Kane out. I just think, having seen what I saw of United and their setup against Liverpool, yeah, and the fact that we've played with a back five at the weekend, leads me to think, I don't know if he's... I've criticised recently saying needs to get to a game plan and stick to it. I don't know if he part-picked that back five thinking ahead to Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not good. I think you can change tactics for a game like that away to Liverpool at Anfield. What I've stressed is, in the games where we should be dominating and winning, find a system that works. I still think it's 4-2-3-1. And get back to what we were good at a couple of years ago, because it's still the same players, just for whatever reason, they're not doing it anymore.
No. What's your prediction for this weekend?
For Spurs at Liverpool? Mm. I think we'll go up there and win.
Yeah?
No. How can you look at anything other than Liverpool winning?
You're thinking Mo Salah will probably be back fit for the game, so at that point they'll be attacking you with pace.
Similarly to last year when we went up there with a back five at Anfield in March and we're getting steamrolled quite early. He picked Eriksen and Ali in a midfield three with Sissoko, because Winks was injured, Dier was injured, etc. And it got overrun. And he ended up changing it to a 4-4-2 with Danny Rose playing wide left. And it had a little bit of a stabilising effect, but then that's the opposite of what I'm suggesting and what works for United. So, I mean, at the moment, I don't think it really matters how we play, because I just think Liverpool will have too much intensity for us. But if we could stay in the game and then have, like, Son on the break late on in the game, then there's a chance,
outside,
of course.
Chance,
but I just think they'd have way too much intensity for us at the moment.
And defensively, you're a bit leaky. So with Gazzaniga in goal, we did have a question on the main pod. Would you rather Gazzaniga or Vorm? Flip a coin and whichever it is it?
I mean, what you won't have, if you've only seen the 5 minutes highlights from the weekend, what you won't have seen is how nervous on the ball Gazzaniga was. He's awful. And I'm afraid to say he really is bad. I can't believe Roberto's worse. I'm not having it. He's an okay shot stopper. He's okay aerially in terms of catching corners, that kind of thing. Basic and things, like he'll take a back pass and he wants to spend 10 seconds before he actually gives the ball to the centre half with no pressure. There's a little things like that. Come on, lift the tempo. It's awful. One of the things I heard this morning as well, the critical about Vertonghen and Alderweireld not playing at the moment. Not playing well. And one of the criticisms is their legs gone. I've said it a few times previously. Toby's never recovered from the nerve injury he got at West Brom in 2016. And obviously, Vertonghen was left out the first couple of weeks. And maybe that was the reason why, that Pochettino's begun to understand it. But then Sanchez played in between them at the weekend. And I think that was to give them a little bit of pace and protection in behind. Sanchez looked so nervous and out of his depth that's not the answer either.
Yeah, a real lack of confidence is coming through in what you're saying.
He needs to get Wanfoyt in the team, whether it be at centre half or at right back. He needs to get him in, because he's a footballer. He'll make mistakes and he's naive and he overdoes it. But he needs to get him into the team and run with it for a while now. I'm not sure Sanchez is the answer, because when he has played this season, he hasn't played well either. And as well as teams are just letting the centre halves have the ball, even more so with Sanchez. So Sanchez plays at Liverpool. I'll tell you what will happen at the weekend. They'll let him have the ball and they will only go and press the player that he passes to. Because they know his pass will be poor in the first instance. Liverpool set amazing traps like that. They're the very best at it. They don't actually press you directly. They press as the ball gets played to the receiver, who's then got no time on the ball to assess the situation. As I said, I just think they'll have too much intensity for us at the moment.
2-0 or 3-0.
At the back and in midfield, like, the quality's gone. And we all thought Ndombele would be the replacement for Dembele. It's not happened yet. Lo Celso, touch wood, might even make a cameo appearance tonight in the Champions League. He won't play on Sunday. That might make a difference. Watching the game on Saturday, I said to my dad's about 20 minutes to go, I said, the only way we'll score here is by causing chaos. And what I meant by that was just like going a little bit more direct and aiming a few balls at them. It's not like Kane's bad in the air, is it? Problem was that even the delivery from wide positions was so poor. I feel like I'm going in circles and Spurs fans are going in circles trying to find a solution at the moment, because we don't know what it is. And none of us can really put our finger on why it has turned so bad. Like, we're not in a threat of getting relegated or anything like that. And actually, look at the league table, I think we're eighth. But we're as close to the bottom three as we are to the Champions League places.
That's your issue,
like,
there.
Yeah, I mean, the way we're playing, like, you forget top four, we ain't getting anywhere near it.
Sheffield United beat Arsenal last night.
Well, I told you that happened two months ago.
I knew you were watching the game quite late, so I didn't want to say anything to you on WhatsApp or Twitter before I knew you'd watch the game, but I obviously knew it was 1-0 when we put the podcast live. I'm assuming you watched it after that.
I got home and switched it on, so I was running about half hour behind everyone.
Okay, fine.
It was a few tweets once I picked up my phone once the game finished. James, how did you know? The reason I knew is because I know Arsenal better than they know themselves.
But leave Arsenal out of it. It's now Sheffield United, West Ham this Saturday. It's going to be a very tough game for us. We have been very consistent with our lineup for most of the season so far. So you can almost kind of predict who is going to play. I say Roberto is going to be in goal. Agbonna and Diop, centre-backs. Fredericks on the right. I think Cresswell's fit to come back in at left-back, and that will make a difference. Masuaku wasn't great at the weekend. Rice in front. Noble, Anderson, Lanzini and Yarmolenko will come back in for Fornals and Haller up front. And if that's not the team, I'm going to be massively surprised.
I heard Fornals didn't play well at the weekend.
He got better as the game went on. I don't know why Anderson got taken off at halftime rather than Fornals, because I'm in the camp that we're always a better side when Anderson plays. He might not... There's a lot of people that don't like him and the way he plays. I think he gives us an out ball and he's actually pretty decent on the ball. He didn't have a good game on Saturday, but then nobody did. I don't think you can judge anything about our style of play or performance on Saturday, because we didn't play. We didn't get a chance to even kick a ball around. So it's more an attitude issue from Saturday than it is. And Sheffield United are going to be up for it. So we have to match them for intensity, work rate and desire. Otherwise, I think we're going to lose again on Saturday.
They would be, at the moment, I would say, one of the worst teams you could come up against. They're obviously sound defensively. I think the stats are going round now. Joint least goals conceded. Least goals conceded from open play so far this season with 5. It's very impressive. What they showed in the game against Arsenal last night was obviously deep resilience, as they've done at Goodison as well. So when they get it, they do want to play football. They're progressive in the ball. One of the things I noticed last night was they don't go backwards too often. That doesn't mean they're going direct and playing long ball.
No.
And for long periods of the second half last night, they couldn't really get out. Yep. But they were happy at that stage, having got the lead. I think where they've adapted really well to this league is they sense the position they're in, so they're winning, like, retreat a little bit.
They play the game.
Yeah, and they've got 3 centre-halves who want to head the ball. The 2 wing-backs are good. I thought Baldock up right wing-back was outstanding. So good. really think he could be an FPL option once they get on the other side of these fixtures as an alternative to people like myself who haven't been on John Lundstrom. We've got good midfield players. Lundstrom's all energy, box to box. Norwood's the footballer. I really like Fleck as well. I think he's a good player. I think when he missed a couple of games for injury, they really missed him. But they'll come, they'll play their football, which will frustrate. And then when they haven't got it, they're happy to retreat into positions that's going to frustrate you. And do you know what Spurs' next home game is? Sheffield United.
I don't know what to make of this weekend coming up, because I know how we're going to line up. I just want to see a little bit more adaptability from the lineup and the way we set up, because he's not one to particularly change his formation or the way we approach games. If that's one criticism I'd chuck at Pellegrini, it's same thing, copy paste and stick to his style. And he also has a very slow style of play. Knock it around, be patient. And Mark Noble said in an interview with, I think he was sitting talking to Joe Cole before the game on Saturday on Sky, and he was saying that Pellegrini's brought a calm to the club and to the way we approach everything. He said he's the hardest training sessions he's ever had to do under Pellegrini. And there's a lot of things that he does well. I think he has probably brought calm to the club and a level of professionalism and raising the standards that's expected from everyone, which is good. But I think that calmness sometimes translates onto the pitch when we don't need to be calm and patient. We need to play with intensity and on the front foot. And sometimes that doesn't happen. You talk about you guys starting games slow. We're notorious for starting games slow for the first 20, 30 minutes. And if we go one down, we don't change our approach to things. I don't want this to be a foreign player versus British player debate, but I think sometimes I'd like to see, because we've got the tricky, skillful players in Lanzini, Anderson, Fornals, Yarmolenko. Sometimes I'd like to see Snodgrass, Noble, Rice, and obviously Antonio's injured, just mixing it up and bringing that physicality to the game rather than always neat passing and trickery. And he hasn't, Snodgrass hasn't seen hardly any minutes so far this season. Wilshere comes on a little bit here and there. And Antonio has been a miss because he's our other option up front without Allaire. I mean, Ajeti came on at the weekend. I don't even know why, to be honest with you. So I'm not concerned because we have quality, but if the opposition nullify that neat passing and trickery, then we don't have a plan B at the moment. And that's the concern with Pellegrini. We need a plan B and we need the ability to mix up the formation to move to a 4-3-3.
On Saturday at 11:17, just over an hour before kickoff,
yep.
You tweeted,
yep.
Very nervous about this game. It's the type we don't show up in.
Yeah.
What is that?
Early kickoff, after the international break. I suppose it's... I knew the other team were going to play with intensity and we can be lackadaisical. So teams that are willing to fight, we struggle against. Teams that come and play football against us, we do better against. So Sheffield United is going to be a very difficult game. Even Newcastle at home is going to be a very difficult game. They're going to be dogged. They're going to set themselves up. We're going to have to break them down. And we play better when we're on the counter-attack with a little bit of pace, when we're breaking out against teams that are playing football against us. So they're going to be two very difficult games. If you're on Yarmolenko or Haller, I don't think you can sell them before these two games. But they're not going to be tearing up trees with massive hauls, in my opinion.
You tweeted after the game, ultimately, what's disappointing is I could see it coming. Everton needed a win and would be up for it. Early kickoff, cold and wet outside, players coming back from international break. We were the perfect opposition and, as predicted, rolled over to have our belly tickled.
Correct.
It's essentially
what you've...
But why?
Yeah.
We spoke about this mentality thing so many times. If you won these two games, all right, Everton away and Palace at home aren't the easiest fixtures, but take advantage of the shit that everybody else is producing, because Spurs United, and it's so typical from Arsenal last night, it shouldn't be a shock to anybody, are trying to open a door. Mm. We don't know if Leicester can maintain the consistency. We don't really know if that's the case with Chelsea either, because of the youthfulness in their side and what will happen, because at one stage, they'll have a dip in form. Absolutely certain. So it's kind of up for grabs, and it feels like for you it's already gone.
What we don't have and what we needed on Saturday was someone on the pitch to take ownership of what was happening, because I don't think Mark Noble particularly did it, and he's our leader on the pitch. It was like, hang on a second, we're getting overrun here. They're nicking the ball off us. We're not able to string two passes together. Someone needs to get their foot on the ball or drop in next to Declan Rice and give him some support or help in midfield up against Gomez and Tom Davis. You know what Rice doesn't have that would actually elevate him to be a better player is the dark arts of the game. He's not a fouler. He's not a tactical fouler like Fernandinho or Rodri or what have you. If he can add that to his game, because that's what we needed. Gomez, probably 3 or 4 fouls in the first half that he made that were cheeky. I hate those little types of fouls. But he knew exactly what he was doing, breaking up play and sticking it up one of the two other creative players like Anderson or what have you. And it shook him up a little bit and we didn't know what to do. Rice needs to add that to his game to really progress, to be able to play for one of the bigger sides. The dark arts when you're pressing and breaking play up further up the pitch a little bit is what you need.
I think that 4-1-4-1 system suits him better though.
Rather than having Noble alongside
him?
Well,
I think it gives him the response. I know you said during the game you probably would have slotted him back in. And I
would have played 4-3-3.
I think there's times where you'd want to do that. But I think it actually allows him a little bit more ownership. Like I found him in the two for the England game in the Czech Republic that he was sloppy knowing he had Henderson with him.
Maybe, yeah.
Whereas I think in games this season, he's taking a real responsibility for West Ham. I didn't watch all of the game on Saturday, so you're better to comment. And I know you said, obviously, at least Noble should have kind of sat in with him.
Yeah, he needed
I think
help.
A responsibility as well for Lanzini to come in. If you're struggling to dominate the ball, he's the best footballer in the team.
Yeah.
In terms
and
of
Anderson
setting the tempo.
Does try and get stuck in a little bit. And he makes a lot of tackles, Anderson. If you look at his tackling stats, he makes a lot. He tries to get involved. I just think he gets a lot of stick unnecessarily, to be honest with you. So we'll see. Prediction for this weekend?
For Spurs?
West Ham.
For you? I think you'll win 1-0.
I think we're going to lose 2-1.
Really?
I think so. I think we're going to lose 2-1 if I was looking at it right now. I don't know whether... If they defend well, I don't know how we're going to break them down.
Fucking hell,
other
mate.
Than a Yarmolenko...
Not fucking AC strike. Milan.
No, true. But if they defend
as in,
well,
sorry, 90s AC Milan, just to clarify.
Yeah, Maldini and Baresi, AC Milan. I think we... If it goes to 40, 50 minutes and we haven't scored and we're not forcing them to come out so we can play them on the counter, they'll dig in and I reckon they'll score set pieces or what have you. They'll throw bodies in the box and be physical. It wouldn't surprise me, 2-1 Sheffield United this weekend.
Spurs prediction?
Well, I thought Liverpool were going to beat Manchester United 3-0 and it didn't happen. So I'm going to keep it tight, 1-0 to Liverpool.
I'm not sure, but I can't see anything other than Liverpool winning.
Yeah, but by a lot or a little?
No, I don't think they'll batter us.
1-0 or 2-0.
2-0, something like that, yeah.
There we go. We'll be back next week, hopefully in a better, brighter
mood.
Oh,
I can't
mood.
See it. Maybe for you.
Yeah, we'll see. But at least if you get a performance out of them, you'll see some kind of progress. And that's all you're asking for at the moment.
That's all
right?
I want at the moment. To be honest, the scoreline at Anfield for me at the weekend be irrespective. I'd want to, 6:20 on Sunday, I'd want to go, good effort today, lads.
Yeah, at least.
That's all I'd want. Like any result would be a bonus. You're not expecting it to go up there. And we, as a football club now, shouldn't be going into any game accepting defeat now.
No.
But unfortunately, the position at the moment is so bleak, you can't really... see beyond it. All the tools are there. It just needs fixing and modelling into something that's stable. The biggest issue to close is still that we don't have a midfield player who can run the game for us unless Eriksen is at peak ability. Hopefully adding Lo Celso into the mix will help, although I suspect the longer term vision for him was to probably play in a midfield three. It will be a big ask for him to go into the team and play that position, I think, and you'll probably see him playing further forward, possibly even off the right to start with.
We shall see. Thanks for tuning in to Tot and Ham episode 13, 12, something like that.
Who
double
cares?
Digits. We've got two already, at least with this nonsense. If you haven't listened to the main podcast, we did put that out yesterday, being Monday. So do listen in, where we run down all of Game Week 9's disasters, captaincy fails, and everything else that happened with that. Tomorrow we'll come at you with Sky Fantasy Football, Planet Sky FF, where we run down that. I think I'm up to 45k now. And that, so where are you up to? 20k?
Oh, no, 16k.
That's
like
not
that,
bad at all. And then Thursday, Clash of the Correspondents with you as well. We have Foxy FPL, FPL Foxy, whichever way round you want to search his name or handle. And we also had Ali, FPL underscore Gaffer, previewing Southampton Leicester this weekend as well.
Yeah, and just to say, that's a really good episode. We've already recorded it, and I was drinking a near 7% beer during it. I was fucking half cut.
Tune into that. The video and the podcast will be live Thursday, and then Friday, as per usual, the final plan, where we run down James and I's teams and what we plan for game week 10. In the meantime, good luck. Enjoy the Champions League football. Stay tuned. Interact with us on Twitter. Ciao for now.
Cue music, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.